And I'm pleased to introduce an hour in 2/4 time, roughly. My guests are from Ein Prosit, the band that only plays happy music, and we're going to talk about a program of wonderful German music coming up Sunday at 3 o'clock at Millwood United Methodist Church. And here to talk about it are three members of Ein Prosit. They are Bill Johnson, Chris Griffith, and John Griffith. And we also have the curator of the music series at Millwood, and that's Carl Doubleday. Thank you all for taking time out of your Monday mornings to be here on WMUK.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. This is for you kind of a late event in the season of being in Ein Prosit. So first of all, maybe Bill, Ein Prosit means something in German. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, Ein Prosit is actually the, if you will, the cheers of the German beer halls. And it actually ties into the song Ein Prosit, which you sing frequently during the Oktoberfest. And basically, it's just their way to raise a glass, say Ein Prosit, and have a nice drink.
Chris, do you remember who came up with the idea of the name for the band? John?
Yeah, I think John and I both did.
Yes, we felt that was a good name. And we had a friend that was really excited about playing in the band, and he said, you know, this is going to be a band that plays only happy music. And Prost, Ein Prosit, you know, a toast to you.
You had a background as a brass player.
Yes, I do. Trumpet and euphonium.
So that's a strong tradition from, is it Bavaria or Germany? I mean, is this more of a regional style?
Chris?
Yeah, it started in Bavaria. It was a celebration of the wedding, a wedding of King Ludwig and Princess Teresa. And they had so much fun at the wedding, they decided to go ahead and make it an annual event. And I think I read there's only been canceled 24 times in the past 290 years or whatever it is, 209 years. So
every year there's a month-long celebration of an ancient wedding.
Yes, 16 days. And it's a big event in Germany, and we feel like it's becoming a rather big event around Michigan. We just see so many people celebrating Oktoberfest.
Well, listeners will have their chance once again on Sunday at 3 o'clock. But tell us where you've been this year as Ein Prosit.
We started up in the Thumb in Port Austin at Bird Creek Farms. From there, we went to LaPorte, Indiana at Back Road Brewery. We played at Bell's in Kalamazoo. We played at Riverside Park in Grand Rapids for Oktoberfest West Michigan, which this year was changed to Oktoberfest Grand Rapids. Then we went to the Village Baker in Spring Lake, then Owosso, for a big Oktoberfest celebration. We're going to be at Millwood United Methodist Church on the 27th, and then we have one more sort of Oktoberfest, which is called a Knocktoberfest, in Three Oaks at Frolic's Restaurant in Michigan, also on November 9th.
Bill, how many members are in this group, would you say?
Well, you know, it varies. I think we have an active roster of around 50 to 60.
And so
and for some of our gigs, we get pretty close to having full attendance. We'll have 45 to 50 of them, which can be quite tight on the stage. And I think the coolest thing is our Elphorn group, Elpentrom. And there's been a couple times when, we have the largest Elphorn group in North America.
That's what we say.
And I think one time didn't we have 16 Elphorns all at once performing at one of our gigs? And it was an incredible sound.
So impressive. Well, Carl, what made you want to have Ein Prosit as part of the Millwood series, which has such a variety of offerings?
Because we had them 10 years ago, and we couldn't wait to have them back. This is the 32nd season of the Millwood series, and they were with us, I think, in 2009. And we had a great time. First time I heard them play, But some other people on our fine arts team at the church had heard them, and that's how we brought them in.
A return engagement.
That's right.
Yes.
Does the fact that there are tens of players present any difficulties for the Millwood space?
Well, we do have to respect the real estate. Chris and John decided 35 players would be good, and I think that's about what we did 10 years ago. And we can make that work. Over the years, our chancel area has become totally flexible. We can get a lot of things out of the way and substitute the necessary furniture. So we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, let's talk about the music that we might hear on Sunday at 3 o'clock for this series. Is there a charge at the door or a suggested offering? Or?
There's a free will offering, and we don't suggest any particular amount.
Okay. So the concert is open to the public, and you can pay what you like. The music, as I alluded to, I think of 2/4 polkas, you know, really upbeat styles, but I'm sure it goes well beyond that. We might hear a song now called something about Munich.
I believe it. Next up will be In München steht ein Hofbräuhaus.
Bill, take it away. What do you?
So, In München steht ein Hofbräuhaus is a song dedicated to that wonderful beer hall in Munich, the Hofbräuhaus, and dedicated to the beer brewed there. So, the piece is from the 1930s, and it celebrates that beer hall and the beer. Beer so wonderful, it once saved Munich from being razed. The King of Sweden had put a siege around Munich, and he agreed to not burn the city down if they would give him a few hostages and several hundred thousand barrels of that wonderful beer. And as I always say, that seemed like a pretty smart king.
Who doesn't have a smile on their face? I'm with three members of Ein Prosit, the band that only plays happy music, and it's a Kalamazoo-based regional band with up to 50 or 60 players, and we're going to see 35 of them on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Millwood United Methodist Church as part of the Millwood series, which Carl Doubleday told us earlier has been going on for 32 years. That's wonderful. That was clearly in 3/4 time.
Yes.
So you've got a kind of waltzes as well. You know, when I think of German folk music, I think of how much Beethoven used it in his pieces. He wrote lots of piano Ländler style things. I mean, it really infuses his music and other composers of the time. Haydn and Mozart also used German dance music. And it continues to this day, thanks to that wonderful wedding party. What year did you say that was?
1810, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
18.
I think it was 1810 because this is the 209th year.
That's incredible. Yeah. So maybe we could get back a little to a few more stories about this tradition. One thing I can tell people is that it's a visual treat as well.
Yes.
You all wear traditional clothing.
We do. We consider it a show rather than a concert. And we have a lot of solo acts, and we try to work a lot of humor into it, a lot of sing-alongs. lot of participation pieces for the entire audience, and it is very family friendly.
Yes.
You can bring kids, they have a great time, they like to participate, they learn a little German. And
but yes, as you mentioned, we do all wear Trachten is the German term for, or the Bavarian term, if you will. So for the men, that is things called Lederhosen, which are the shorter pants with the suspenders, or the Kniebundhosen, which go a little bit longer down past the knees. And for the women, it's Dirndls. Which is a dress style with a nice little apron on the front of it, very flowery, and often the women will have flowered wreaths that they wear, and the men will wear the alpine hats.
In what way are they embellished? I mean, what makes them colorful?
Well, for the hats, a lot of us will put pins on from all the places we visited. And so when you look at the men's hats, they have all sorts of pins from different locations or different things they've done. And for the women, the dirndls, it's often the aprons and the such have embroidery patterns
right.
and the such.
The aprons are generally embroidered, and often the skirt dresses, we wear flowers in our hair. And you can switch those around. Don't have to have the same color. Dirndls are very pricey, so most of us maybe have two at the most, because we wear them all season. But we can step it up a little bit with the changing of the flowers and the hair.
But you can tell them about tying the apron. The way the apron is tied is very important.
It is very important. If you're supposed to be able to put it around you and bring the sashes forward, if you tie it on the left, it means that you're married. If you tie it on the right, it means that you're single, and if you tie it in the middle, it means that you are betrothed.
It's complicated.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Mine doesn't fit all the way around the front, so I just tie it in the back.
they're pricey because they're handmade and
imported, hand embroidered or not hand, well machine embroidered, but they are very pricey. If the average dirndl, if you bought it here, there's a store called Ernst Licht in Pennsylvania, is probably about $300 for the entire outfit. And when we've been in Europe, we've priced them, and they're even higher there.
So that gives you no,
but of course,
no discount.
One of the funny things is one of our members who sometimes comes, she goes by the moniker of Tuba Chick. She buys her dirndls from a place in the Chicago area, and so they've been modernized a bit. So she, in fact, the one time showed off a Star Wars dirndl.
Fantastic. So modernized a bit.
And she wears hers a bit shorter than we wear ours as well.
Now, the Lederhosen are leather pants, and they have bone buttons, and they too are very expensive. And,
I can imagine, yeah.
And so.
Well, that's just part of sort of the
Einprosit yes.
experience. When you go to see the group, you'll see this fabulous folk clothing. And I should remind listeners, I'm with Chris and John Griffith, as well as Bill Johnson and Carl Doubleday. Bill, Chris, and John are members of Einprosit, which performs Sunday at 3 o'clock in a free concert at the Millwood United Methodist Church. Carl, location of the church?
3919 Portage Street, I guess, until it gets into Portage and it becomes road. Yeah. It's a half a mile north of I-94 at exit 78, the airport exit. So it's only a half a mile towards town from there. Okay. Very accessible.
Now that we've talked about some of the colorful clothing, perhaps we could talk about the instruments in the band. What is a typical German band made up of?
Well, there's the tenor horn, which is a baritone. It's a low brass instrument, baritone, euphonium type of horn. Then there's the E-flat tenor horns, and that is the French horn would be the equivalent. But these are traditional horns. And then there's the...
Does that mean they no valves? Is that something?
Oh, no, they have valves.
Okay.
And then there is the flugelhorn, which is a trumpet-like instrument, but of course it's conical and it's larger then the trumpet, and has a deeper voice. And then there's the cornet, which is the next one up. And then we have the trumpets. And of course, in the woodwind, and in the woodwind section, we have the clarinets. We have and a piccolo, which is really important. And that's one of the reasons why we became interested in the German music, because we went to a band camp, and because I was a trumpet player, I'm bass clef challenged, and they had brass ensemble, low brass ensemble, and because I'm bass clef challenged, I had to play in a German band because the music was in treble clef. And it just happened that they had that the piccolo was very important to the music, and we fell in love with it when we played it for the for the first time.
Because Chris, of course, you are a long time, very experienced flutist, and of course, piccolo is in your wheelhouse as well. And don't you play a special kind of piccolo sometimes?
I do. I have a pink piccolo. We also have a pink sousaphone called the Pink Lady. And Amanda Mansfield's playing that right now, and we do duets. One is called The Elephant and the Flea, and so I felt I needed something to match her pink ladies, so I have the pinkalo.
Will you be bringing it out on Sunday?
Of course.
So it sounds like we went from low to high. Any other instruments?
We have the what?
Tuba.
Oh, gee. Yeah, well, the tuba.
Not low enough.
Yes, and we have
trombones.
We have tubas and trombones as well. So that fills out. It's almost a brass band except for those clarinets and the
clarinets are like the violins of the German band.
Violins are soft and delicate. Yeah.
And then we also have percussion, of course, to help keep the band moving along.
Mm-hmm. Any squeeze boxes in there?
Yes, we do have some accordions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I think we have three players playing accordion. And they are usually generally at our events. Mm-hmm. Because we play so many different events during the year, we don't expect every member to show up 8 weeks in a row. So we do a commitment letter to them, and they reply, to stay an active member, you need to play in at least two of our gigs. But most people play, I'd say, at least half, if not six.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the structure of the show and how you make it entertaining and varied for the audience. But I think we should listen to another selection, Chris. And I think up next we have the tune Ein Prosit, or more like the welcome.
It is the tune Ein Prosit, and it's followed by So Long, Dear Alte Peter.
And that has a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce it?
Sure. So Long, Dear Alte Peter is a wonderful piece composed in the late 1800s. And it actually started off as a Viennese piece, slightly modified. But the really interesting story about it was a radio station in Munich was the pause character, if you will. It was their intro song. And when they played it around 1948, they stopped playing the sound for the last syllable, the ter, and it was to signify the damage to the St. Peter Church in Munich, as it was damaged after the war. When it was finished, the reconstruction of it in 1951, they then, and from now forward, have continued on by playing the ter tone to show that it has been reconstructed, and as long as it stands, it is tribute to Munich and to tribute to that church.
What group are we listening to on this recording?
Not really sure. It's just a Bavarian blast orchestra, which is a band.
Come on!
Hard not to keep playing from tune to tune, Chris.
And if I could point out one thing, your very observant listeners might have heard something there. There's a little call out to, in Munchenstadt, Ein Hofbräuhaus calls out to that. If you listen very carefully, you can hear a little bit of in Munchenstadt, which is the call back to So Long der Alte Peter.
Afraid I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I heard it at the very beginning.
That's right. Yep.
Just a couple bars of the theme and then it goes right into it.
If you tuned in during the music, I am with members of Ein Prosit, the German traditional band that in their traditional folk wear will appear on Sunday at 3 o'clock in a free concert at Millwood United Methodist Church as they extend extremely the Oktoberfest season.
I should add, Kara, that the Millwood audience isn't quite as rowdy as these recordings. So they tend to listen to the music, and I think the players enjoy that.
Yeah, well, it is fun music to listen to. It's fun music to dance to. I don't know, yeah. Carla, is there going to be space for dancing?
Very little, but some
okay.
Right down front.
All right. Well, good. So if anybody is so motivated during the concert that they want to get up and dance, we certainly would welcome that. Shows they're having a good time.
Make a dancing testimony.
So we were going to talk about how the show is structured and educational and fun. And what are some ways that you managed to do that? Maybe I'll start with Bill.
Well, I mean, we always start off with our Alphorns first, which because we feel like that is a great way, their sound calls people in to our performances and lets them know that we're starting, because it's a very deep, full, melodious sound. And we always start out with one or two pieces from the Alphorns, and then we'll do a joint piece, and then we get into just the band performing. Mm-hmm. And we oftentimes will start with, not a shock, polkas. We have some polkas coming up to listen to, because we're German bands, so we play polkas. And we introduce those songs, and depending on the place, sometimes as the announcer, I'll be more of a concert announcer, where I'm a little bit more encyclopedic, if you will. Or if we're playing at an Oktoberfest, I tend to go for the humor. And all that. And of course, you know, we try and make it seem like you're at an Oktoberfest with the music and the singing and so on and so forth. And one thing I don't think we'll be doing at this performance, which is an awful lot of fun, is we even have a cowbell player, or the mistress of Moo, as I like to call her. And we do that very traditional Austrian piece, Edelweiss, which is not traditional at all,
yeah.
If your listeners are aware.
Written in the 1960s.
Traditionally written by Rodgers and Hammerstein for The Sound of Music. Uh-huh. But we do that with cowbells, which is always a crowd favorite. And it's always like a tightrope act. Will she be able to play all of the cowbells in the right order at the right time? Which is, we're all wondering whether or not that'll happen. And she rarely is ever missed. And that's the wonderful Sandy Beck from the Muskegon area, who's our mistress of Moo, the countess of the cowbell.
Bill Johnson, I have to ask you, since I asked Chris and John, what your background is in music and what you play and how you got involved in Ein Prosit.
Well, I'm a trumpet player. I dabble around in a couple other instruments, but I mainly play trumpet and or flugelhorn. And how I found this group was amazing. Your listeners may not be aware that there are festivals for community bands in the state, and one big one is one in the Okemos area called the Red Cedar Festival of Community Bands. And I looked at the program, and I saw my friend Tracy Sonneborn, who I had known years before as a member of the DeWitt Community Concert Band, and I saw he was playing Alphorn. Well, I actually knew Tracy when he bought the Alphorn, years before Ein Prosit even existed. And so I'm like, wow, let's go listen to that. That might be fun. And I remember sitting in the audience with the biggest smile on my face, listening to these folks play and enjoy their music. And I leaned over to my friend from Middleville, Sandy Wake, who's still a member of the band. And I said, Sandy, if I could get us into this band, would you want to do it? And she looks at me and smiles and says, sure. So I come walking up, and Tracy doesn't quite recognize me at first because I've lost a whole bunch of weight at that point in time. I used to weigh a lot more. And Tracy's like, bill. Little did I know when I said, boy, I'd love to play trumpet, they sort of needed a couple trumpet players. And because Tracy could vouch for me, Chris went, sure, you can join. And so our first gig after a couple rehearsals was in Whitehall in 2009. And that was the first gig that Sandy and I went to. And so we've been doing it for 10 years
10
now.
10-year anniversary.
Yeah, 11 seasons, 10 years.
When did you start, you know, getting up and hosting the concert?
Oh, boy, I can't remember exactly when that was. But our previous announcer, Becky, had to step away. And so they were looking for someone who was a little bit boisterous and could talk a lot. And as your listeners can tell, I can do both. Maybe not always well, but I can do it. And so they looked at me, and it just helps to be a ham and to be willing to, you know, have fun.
That's right. And yeah, even when you don't feel like it, get in the mood.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to get into a happy mood with Ein Prosit. And
thank you.
Speaking of the cowbells, one of the audience pleasers and things to involve the audience is that we'll get volunteers to play the cowbells, and they'll line up in front of the band, and the accordion would play an introduction, and we have the pink lady, the tuba player, would be giving the low sounds, and Sandy would go before each player. Each player had a cowbell of a different tone, and they'd play the tune. And so that was that.
How that was accomplished.
And it's called the Kuglocken Choir, which is the tuned bell choir, if you will.
So. And they're playing Edelweiss. Of course, she only selects those bells that are used in Edelweiss, so no one gets the wrong one.
So she's doing almost a dance, moving from, you know, the low to the high and back and forth, and it's fun. And the audience is really engaged in that. Yeah. And there is a special treat to those who play, a beer mug. We have special Ein Prosit beer mugs that we hand out. And Chris is also giving a pin, an Ein Prosit pin, to the players. Which
name tag.
A name tag, yes. So.
Well, sounds like every show is full of surprises.
Oh, it is.
And fun.
And
I'm with Chris and John Griffith, as well as Bill Johnson and Carl Doubleday. Ein Prosit, German band, performs on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Millwood United Methodist Church, which is just inside Kalamazoo near on Portage Street, near the I-94 interchange. And why don't we listen to another selection? Up next is Schütz und Liesel, or we could skip to Trink, Brüderlein Trink.
It's your choice. I can talk about either. Your choice. Yeah, Schütz und Liesel is a tribute to the shooting matches in Germany in the 19th century and the wonderful maidens who would bring beer to the men doing the shooting. Schütz und Liesel. The Liesel is the waitress, if you will. So, and then Trink, Trink, Brüderlein Trink is a German drinking song. Drink, drink, dear brother, drink. So,
let's hear about these lovely maids who offer some libation to the shooter.
Shooting and beer, it's always a good mix. Thank you.
Schutz and Liesel, the name of that very catchy tune. And we're listening to Bavarian folk music that is one of the specialties of Ein Prosit, the German band that only plays happy music. Their concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock at Millwood United Methodist Church in Kalamazoo, and it is free and open to all. I heard a lot of singing there, Bill, and it sounds like you do invite people to sing along frequently.
Absolutely. We always want people to sing along, and it's fun at some of the Oktoberfest where you have more German folks and they'll be singing along. It'll be you'd be surprised that they're doing it. And of course, one of the fun things we love to do, and we're going to do at the performance on Sunday, is the Manor Corps, which is some of the men from Ein Prosit who have good singing voices come up towards the front and sing along in front of the band. And we're doing Du, Du, Liegst mir im Herzen, and my personal favorite, Mein Vater war ein Wandersmann, which you're listeners may know better as The Happy Wanderer, a tune composed in the 1950s for a German children's choir as a fundraiser for the rebuilding efforts after the war. But of course, younger listeners like myself remember it as the wonderful song from The Muppet Show with those happy little pigs trying to climb up the mountain and not quite making it.
Oh, please, please give me a taste of that. I can't quite remember this. Is it, I love to go a-wandering.
I love to go a-wandering along the mountain track. And as I go, I love to sing my knapsack on my back.
Okay. And then there's some folderies and folderas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I certainly know that song. And that's coming up Sunday as part of the show.
Yes.
By Ein Prosit. How do you get together and design all these features? And it's not just a straight ahead one piece, next piece, next piece. You have really throwing together all kinds of variety.
Well, I do the programming, and I try to keep a general form so everybody knows what to expect. We do start with alphorns. One thing is that they are a calling instrument, and they call the audience forward. But also, they're very large. And so we can play the alphorns, and then we can get them out of the way so our players, our alphorn players play other instruments in the band. So then our players can get back in the band, and we proceed. We usually program a march right after our alphorn features, sort of gives them a little traveling music, the alphorn players, to get back into the regular seats. I'm in Münchenstadt on Hofbräuhaus is one of our favorites. I usually put that right at the beginning because it's recognizable. And it encourages dancing. Our general form is three sets, and we take 2 15-minute breaks in the three sets. We do three-hour gigs at most events. I try to feature sections, like our euphonium section will play. They're going to play the Bergsteiger polka. We have one called Trompeten Polka, where trumpet players actually come up and do a little dance routine while they play. We often feature clarinets, the violins of our band. There are a lot of fun clarinet pieces, Der Lustige Pfifferling, which is the happy mushroom. They do the clarinet polka. And we do have soloists who come up and play, too. Our cowbell soloist is one. Unfortunately, she's not going to be with us Sunday. They have an ill grandchild in there in Florida for a couple weeks. So we won't be doing that this week. We end with all the polkas and waltzes in between. We always end with alphorns as well, because then the alphorns can get out, get their instrument, and that's the end of the show. Mm-hmm. After we finish the show, the alphorns players invite members of the audience to come up and have a closer look at these beautiful handcrafted instruments. They're just lovely instruments. And I'll ask John to tell you a little bit about them. And he does a petting zoo where we have disinfectant spray, and if someone wants to give it a try, they're most welcome to do that.
Yeah, they're massive. Like, I'd be intimidated by even, how does a human play these? They look like they're made for giants.
I like to think of the alphorn and a benediction that is given for music. Take my music if it be sweet. Take my music if it not be so sweet. Keep it always, but let it go till it comes back to me. And playing the alphorn is an outdoor instrument, and I'm always looking for echoes. And I think of when I play the music out, you know, it hits a rock or the leaves on the tree, and then comes back differently. And that's I get excited about playing the alpine horn because of that. And the music is gorgeous. And it always gets attention, and people are really moved by it. Tracy Sonneborn and I went to a tavern, the Hideout in Grand Rapids, and they had quite a group of motorcycle player gang there, and we asked if we could play our elk horns, and we played, and we played Amazing Grace. Amazingly, and this restaurant had a lot of outside tables. It used to be a spa, and when we finished playing Amazing Grace, this tattooed fella in leather and came up with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Oh, that just made all the difference for me." It's just interesting things that happen when you're playing the elk horn and the music, and it has taken us all over.
The instruments, you said, were handcrafted, about 12 feet?
12 feet long, yes. And what they are is a French horn unwound, pretty much so, you know.
Hmm. Are they brass?
No. Well, they're considered a brass instrument, but they're made usually of they're made of wood, sika spruce, spruce, and they're perfectly conical. They come in three or four parts, and they have to be perfectly conical because blowing into them, if there's inconsistency in it, you get a blowback, and that affects the tone. So that we have that, and they're not only musical, or you know, not only make beautiful music, but they're also objets d'art. They're objects of art because there are wood carvers who carve the bells of the instrument, and also then there are people who paint. German flowers, traditional flowers on them. And
just think of anyone out there who has a studio, woodworking studio or something, imagine, and who done anything on a lathe, imagine trying to build out 12 feet of a perfect cone with the turn at the end.
Yes. And the mouthpiece that we use, you said, is it a brass instrument? No, it's not. It's totally wood. And we have wooden mouthpieces. That's in Switzerland. If you're to compete in an elk horn contest, you have to have play with a wooden mouthpiece.
Well, we're running out of time. Can we listen to something for elk horns? Did you bring something along, Chris? Go ahead and tell me which CD to go to and the name of the piece, maybe.
It's on YouTube, Gloria.
Okay. Well, we'll take a short break for a little bit of music, elk horn music, and we'll be back for a quick wind up with Ein Prosit and Carl Doubleday from the Millwood series. And here we go. Well, I cheated you all out of alp horn playing. Unfortunately, that was another German band piece. Couldn't quite cue it up fast enough. So here at the end of our hour, I'm with Chris and John Griffith, who are longtime members, founders of Ein Prosit.
17 years.
17 years. Yes. Bill Johnson joined in 2009, so happy decade with Ein Prosit. And Carl Doubleday is here as well as the host on Sunday. Millwood United Methodist Church is the venue. And Carl, before we go, tell us the details of time and place of this concert. Maybe preview the final concert of the series this year.
Okay, Millwood United Methodist Church is on Portage Road, 3919 Portage Road, half a mile north of I-94 on Portage. And concert is at 3 o'clock, a free will offering. And there is a reception, but it's a Methodist reception. It's root beer and pretzels after the show. And the Millwood series is a calendar year series. There's one event left in 2019. It's on Sunday, December 15. We're all at 3 and all on Sundays. And we are bringing soprano Diane Penning and tenor pianist Paul Langford. They're going to do popular and holiday music together. They're a duo, and they've played with orchestras and everything. But in this occasion, it'll be just the two of them. And we've never had them before.
What a treat.
And they wanted to be on the series, and we were glad we were able to do it.
So the Sunday, the holiday concert for the Millwood series is December 15th, which is Sunday at 3 o'clock, as Carl said. Any final thoughts from John, Chris, or Bill on Sunday's concert?
I just hope that your listeners can make it out, because it's a really fun time listening to a lot of really fun Oktoberfest-style music.
Anything from you, Chris?
Well, thank you for inviting us to be here.
Sure.
And I also just hope people come out and relax and have a great time. Just have some good old-fashioned fun.
Yes.
And John, just ditto.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you.
Enjoy the music, and please come back and tell your friends.
You can find Ein Prosit on Facebook and get look at their schedule. And it's good to look early, like in July or August, to find out what October is going to be like.
And also our website is einprosit.us.
Okay. Well, thank you all for a very fun hour of music and conversation. News from NPR coming up next. And after that, Jack Perlstein has more music. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Hear It.